driving. Hope comes and stops us in our tracks. Bravely we prove in our striving, trudging together each day. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Raw Recovery, a Trudging Together podcast. My name is Dion, and I am here with my host.
Hi, I'm Amber.
Hi, Amber. It's good to have you. Now, Amber's had a tough week, so if you are not easy on her, you will hear from me. So, right, what do we say? We're not all sick on the same day. And, you know, we need each other. We need each other when it comes to that. I know, you know, last week I was having a harder time, and Amber and my group kind of circled around me and kept me protected. That was nice of you. That's what we get to do for each other in this program. So
beginning of the week, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm getting a bunch of reminders to start this. I'm gonna be doing a little bit of sharing while I'm talking here. Since we are live, why did it not put the oh, that's okay. So what we are going to be talking about today are the five simple suggestions to thoroughly follow the path. And this was Amber's. And Amber, what was going? What made you think about this as a topic for the podcast?
You know, so with my sponsorship family, our biggest thing is just keeping it simple. And these five simple suggestions are right out of the big book. You know, taking a sentence and putting it into, you know, one or two words, and then just repeating those five simple suggestions have really helped me a lot throughout my entire sobriety. So yeah, I just figured, you know, you don't really hear these things in the big book be called the five suggestions to thoroughly get you through the path, you know? So yeah, that's kind of where I was like, you know what, I'll bring something from my sponsorship family into the mix this time.
Yeah. And you know what, while we talk just before we get started, what is a sponsorship family?
Well, a sponsor in general is, you know, somebody that takes you through the 12 steps of, you know, in the big book as they're laid out. The big book is titled Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a sponsor, they can be a friend, but they don't necessarily have to be a friend. Sure. There's somebody that's willing to pass the message that was freely given to them as it's laid out in the book, you know. But yeah, my sponsorship family is really cool, and I feel really lucky to have fallen into it with this being my first sponsor experience in the first place. But my sponsor still talks to his sponsor every single day, which is my grand sponsor. And my grand sponsor and his sponsor are the ones that kind of came up with what we call the manual to the big book.
Okay. And
that's where I was introduced to the five suggestions to thoroughly follow the path, was in the manual to the big book that we have. The manual to the big book isn't anything fancy. It's literally just simple instructions on how to take a person through the steps. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, him and his sponsor are the ones that, you know, decided to put it on paper. They had a really simple, solid way. And it's, you know, they weren't putting their twist on what was already in the book.
Sure.
So they wrote it out, you know, put it in a PDF form. And now when I go to the sponsorship family, everybody is linked to each other, you know, one way or another by sponsorship. And every single one of us has used this manual to the big book. So when we reference things like, you know, five suggestions to thoroughly follow the path, I don't sound like a cuckoo in this, you know, once a month meeting that we got going on.
Yeah.
That once a month meeting is, you know, it's a guaranteed place to go for me, that I know that everybody in that meeting has either one worked the steps exactly how I have, or two, they are working the steps exactly like I have. Yeah, so that's kind of what our sponsorship family is all about.
Yeah, and what's great about a sponsorship family too is if your sponsor isn't available, somebody else in that group probably is. And since they're all on the same page and you're being accountable with them, they can actually help you. Because they're saying, oh, no, 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 that's not what we do here. So, 100%. Great. Well, we've got some time in here. Welcome to everybody that's joining us. We're going to be talking about the five simple suggestions to thoroughly follow the path. And Amber's going to kind of be taking over from here. And I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I love talking about this stuff, but I want to hear a different experience. You know, we're going to hear a different experience. And the other thing I'd like to let you know is chat is available. And if you want to chat, please feel free to. If you just want to say hi, or maybe you have a different experience or you want to add on, please feel free to do that. So from here, I'm going to kind of let Amber take over as host, and we're going to learn some things. So Amber, go for it, and I will run the background.
Thanks, Dan. You know, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you doing this podcast and everything that you do for the recovery world. It helps a lot for me, at least.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll kind of rewind a little bit. Five suggestions to thoroughly follow the path that was given to me right after I did step two, but right before I did step three.
Okay.
I'll read something on page 47 in the big book. You know, it's pretty much step two. We need to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that a power greater than myself, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man says he does believe or is willing to believe, we empathetically assure him that he is on his way. Mm-hmm. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Yep.
And so, you know, that word simple right there really stood out to me. You know, my sponsor and I talked about like what my belief was, not even necessarily what my belief was. He actually just asked me like, do you believe in something greater than yourself?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, cool. Let's keep going. You know, like, let's not waste time on that. Right.
Yeah.
And he also told me if you would have said no, that would have been okay too, because
Absolutely.
You're at least willing to sit here with me today.
And there it is.
And yeah, he also explained to me, like, as long as you don't think you're God, we're good, right? But he was like, but you know, before we move to step three, I'm gonna give you five simple things to thoroughly follow the path. And he had me turn to page 85.
Mm.
And so 85 being chapter 5, how it works. Well, okay, cool. How it works. That's how I'm going to follow the path, right? But, you know, this chapter is, you know, packed with a lot of good stuff, right?
Yeah.
But the second sentence down on the 58 page, it says, those who do not recover are people who cannot completely give themselves to this simple program.
Yeah.
And once again, there's that word simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So keep it simple. You know, like I think I may have mentioned earlier, my sponsorship family, we really, truly focus on keeping it simple.
Yeah.
My sponsor, I met him, you know, well, 16-ish months ago, and he told me, you know, we keep it kindergarten simple. And now my son's going into kindergarten, and I'm like, I don't know if it's that simple, but it's simple. It's super simple. You know, so it's just keeping it simple, right? So it says people who cannot or will not, they are not completely given themselves to this simple program.
Yeah.
Well, what is this program, right? Well, Dr. Bob talked about it in his, you know, not Dr. Bob too, but I'm sorry, Dr. Silkworth in the beginning,
yeah.
The doctor's opinion. He talked about how the program is a few simple rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a few simple rules. Frothy alcoholics call it suggestions, but for me, I needed it to be rules.
Yeah.
So my sponsor had me.
is keep it simple the first rule, the first suggestion?
Kinda. So that's what I was just gonna get at. He had me in my left column, he had me write number one, follow directions.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Directions.
Yep. And you know, and then he had me put in parentheses surrender. And before that we had talked about, well, what is surrendering? Surrendering is when we, you know, stop fighting everything and everyone and we relax, we throw up that white flag. And when you stop fighting is when you start following directions.
Yeah.
You're following those few simple rules of which this program is, right?
Absolutely.
If we don't follow the rules on the road, we don't have a license.
That's so, right. Yep.
Then,
we alcoholics, we don't, you know, when we talk about things like direction and conformity and, you know, we're not big on that. So the fact that they started out with saying that it is suggested, I think really, really helps us see that it can be simple. So, because I know the number one thing is we alcoholics don't like being told what to do, period. You know, so we have to be approached kindergarten simple. Absolutely. Yep. Layman's terms is what we used to call it.
Yep. 100%. And especially with how mushy and defeated I was when I was doing my step work. I met my sponsor on day three and, you know, excuse me, it took me a little while to read the portion that he wanted me to read.
Yeah.
Because my brain was so mushy, but I was still within a week. I was up to page 63 where he wanted me to be.
Wow.
We were able to sit down. I will give that a lot up to that app, Everything AA. They have the audio on there too.
Yeah.
So I, you know, was able to follow along with somebody reading. That's how mushy my brain was.
Yep.
That helped a lot. And then as a mom, I don't get a whole lot of alone time or sit down reading time. So having that audio when I was in the shower was really helpful too.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Everything AA app, even though it's not run by AA, but that's okay. I mean, they're a good company. The people running it is a good company. So
exactly.
And we need all of that, you know, and I never thought, cause you know, and this is why we talk, you know, it's like, well, I can listen to it or I can read it. Well, I can do both.
Exactly.
Yes. And hi, Michelle. Good to have you, sis.
Yeah, I love it when an old timer's like, you know, I listened on it on a cassette tape and you probably don't even know what a cassette tape is. And I love cassette tapes. But just to see it evolve, but at the same time, stay the same. You know, like the message, the book is the same, the message is the same, the steps are the same, but we're just using the technology to pass the message more efficiently, you know. I listened to it a lot and I got up to page 63 where he asked me to get to, and he didn't ask me to like memorize it or understand it or anything like that, but to just read it or listen to it once through so that we could go back through it together.
Well, you were doing the first one. You were following directions. That's all you had to do. You didn't even have to understand it.
Exactly. And so, once I got there and we did steps 1, 2, and 3 in a matter of, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then he launched me into step 4. In that hour and a half, I felt like, you know, there was a lot of hope in that hour and a half doing steps 1, 2, and 3. And so I was ready to follow direction at that point. Like, I think that's where I was getting at with that whole point, was that I was so defeated that I was just ready for some sort of direction other than which direction is the liquor store. So then he had me kind of thumb down a little bit on the same page 58. It says they are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. And he had me highlight that in the left column. He had me write number two, be honest. So number one, follow directions. Number two, be honest. And, you know, if I'm not being honest, I'm not following directions. So they really go hand in hand together.
They
you
do. Know? Yes, they do.
And being honest, you know, especially after doing a short workshop with, you know, somebody on the whole honesty factor with step one and stuff like that. Man, I really realized that, like, even some of the silly things of lies, just it's still there. And sometimes it is very hard just to be honest. But the more you practice it, the more I practice it, the easier it gets. And, and I mean, it's actually really hard to lie now that you practice honesty so much, you know.
And that when you're honest, here's the thing, and we're not saying don't lie. We're saying be honest. And it's different. It's for us alcoholics, we have to think of this just a little bit differently. It isn't that I was a lying sack of shit. It's just that I didn't know how to be honest. I had to be taught. I needed this book. I needed a sponsor to help me with the language. And then once I understood that a little bit, I was like, ah, okay, I get it. Because when I'm honest with me, and that's hard to do, then I can be honest with everybody else. Yeah. It's the only way it works.
Yeah, and when I did meet my sponsor on day three, you know, that's when he asked me to do the daily phone call. And I think that was one of the biggest things I was dreading with the sponsor. And I think it was because not only one, obviously I'm being told what to do, but two, you know, it's like, I'm not in control. I have a babysitter. And the thing that ticked me off the most was it, you know, I hadn't read the whole big book just yet, but it's not in the big book. It's not in the big book to call your sponsor every single day. Right. So that's why I think it irritated me. But the moment he explained it to me, right? He said, this builds accountability. It builds integrity, doing what you say you're going to do. I'm all about definitions. And he gave me that definition on day three, doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I got to do that. You're right. I got to start doing what I'm going to say, what I say I'm going to do. So even from day three, once again, like you said, I was following directions. I was calling him every day. I was being honest. And, you know, if for some reason I didn't make that call, I needed to be honest the next day and just be like, I forgot, instead of coming up with some shitty excuse.
Exactly. You know what? I would much rather hear, you know what? I slept through my alarm. That happens to me a lot. I'm sorry I missed it. I was sleeping. I just can't lie anymore. Something that I caught here was when we get with a sponsor and our sponsors are transparent, because, you know, I don't like sponsors that like hide things. Oh, you'll thank me later kind of stuff. I give them everything. And I want to be transparent because it's not my recovery. And you as a person, you can make your own decisions.
I love
your sponsor, by the way. I think he's awesome.
I love him too. Yeah, no, I thought the Alcoholics Anonymous was a secret organization and you had to, like, you know, give this secret entity your soul in order to get this, like, secret message. And it's not secret. We'll give you the answers, you know. So, yeah, my sponsor just being, like you said, transparent, being open, being, you know, willing to, because I had heard all these horror stories of, you know, women stay with women, men stay with men. And I honestly didn't even know if this man sponsored women or not. And I got lucky on that factor, too. And I will say probably more out of a lot. I go to a lot of meetings still. I still go to a lot of different meetings, not just like the same meeting.
I know.
I go to a lot of different meetings.
Yeah, because we jump around on them.
Yeah, and you know, at my sponsorship family meeting, though, I would say I see more men and women there sponsoring, you know, opposite sex or whatever sure. people are going with. You know, they aren't closed-minded to that. Granted, there are some that do still stick men with men, women with women, and that's totally fine too, but they're not sitting there saying what, you know, the others are doing is wrong too. So,
yeah, you know, I think it's a, and there again, it says in the big book, it's your recovery. And it doesn't say anywhere in here, men with men, women with women. Mm-hmm. All I see is children of God. That's what I'm looking at. Now, for me, I don't want to do a four-step with a female. It's just how I am. And I'm not going to do a female's four-step. I'm too shy. I don't know what. You know, but there, I'm just being honest with myself. You know, yeah. And not everybody else is that way. And that's okay.
Yeah. And if I, you know, didn't grow up a tomboy, didn't have all brothers, you know, wasn't just kind of like, somewhat of a male mindset some days as it is, I don't think I could handle a male's fifth step either. Those are some brutal things, man. And they're different. Men and women's fifth steps are completely different.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not saying like people who stick with the same sex by any means is that wrong either. You know, I, like you said, it's your recovery, you know, like whoever you feel comfortable with, but I will say one thing, I do highly suggest doing your fifth step with another alcoholic.
Yeah, not a priest, I do recommend that also.
Not a therapist.
Yeah.
Somebody who's done a fifth step themselves, at least. Yeah. So.
And it says in the big book that you do not have to do your fifth step with your closed mouth friend. Somebody says it in there. Okay, yeah. Or in this case, your sponsor. You're not required to do that as long as it is done. Fearlessly and thoroughly.
Yep, exactly. So, and that kind of brings us to the third suggestion now, too, actually. It's at the bottom of the page, 58. I'll read the sentence that he had me highlight. It says, some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go, absolutely. And he had me in the left-hand column, right, number 3, be open-minded. Following directions, being honest, and now I'm being open-minded.
Yep.
And this one, I've actually really been working on this open-minded one the last, probably 2 weeks now.
Okay.
Especially around AA in general, because, I mean, man, did I have a lot of contempt prior to investigation coming in. But once I started actually learning it, I'm like, oh, well, now I know exactly what I want and what I need. And, you know, that's where I got myself in trouble in the first place, thinking that I knew what was right for me and what I needed. And in reality, me going to random meetings and hearing random people, or even listening sometimes to the person I don't want to listen to, I start hearing the similarities versus the differences if I stay open-minded.
Man,
what I was doing was not getting me really anywhere as far as, you know, spiritual fitness goes. And probably not in many other ways either, you know, physically, mentally, financially.
Absolutely.
You
know, and, you know, for me, like in the last couple of weeks, you know, like I've noticed that, you know, I'm like, I'm taking myself too seriously. So I've been going to some meetings that kind of screw around and having a little bit more fun, so I can accept the fact, you know, hey Dion, this is kind of how it goes, and it's okay. But open-mindedness, once you know, it doesn't stop, because I find, even no matter how long I've been in this program, I will find things that I am not open-minded about, you know. And you know, it's okay to give other people space for a little bit so we can figure out what's going on, you know. But I think the biggest thing for me as far as open-mindedness goes is going back to being honest. Maybe I see somebody doing something that irritates me. I got to be open-minded enough to say, Am I doing that also? Because if so, I need to change it. And that's really when it started, when open-mindedness started to affect me, when I would question myself. Dion, do you really think that way? Do you really feel that way? Have you looked at this long enough to actually make a good decision on it? You know?
Yeah. And that's getting back into the honesty part again, too. You know?
Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, being open-minded, I mean, my grandma's kind of drilled that one into me since I was a kid, you know? Yeah. It was, you're being closed-minded, you know? Think outside the box, you know? I was blessed with some pretty cool people that, you know, helped me think about thinking outside the box or, you know, not using the hate word. We kind of talked about that the other night in a meeting, you know? It's that I'd rather use certain cuss words than the hate word some days, you know? But, so, and then that brings us, you know, to number 4. It's on page 59. And this one's probably my favorite because it can be worded so many different ways. But the part he had me highlight was half measures availed us nothing.
Mm.
And he had me write number 4, do the best I can. Do the best I can. And then he also had me write best of my ability.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they go hand in hand. Yeah, we're trying to keep it simple here. So, you know, I got to do it to the best of my ability. And when I go through it with sponsees, and I think even when I went through it with my sponsors, with my sponsor, not sirs, just one. when I went through it with him, you know, I was like, man, this says don't do it half-ass.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that, like, was really instilled in me as a kid. Like, if I was going to do it half-ass, why do it at all?
Yeah.
And
if you ain't going to do it right the first time, don't do it. Yeah. So I was ready.
And so, you know, as a kid, you want to say a cuss word, right? And like my parents were like, well, you can say half-ass as long as you don't do things half-ass. Ah. And so it's kind of motivation, you know, not to do shit half-ass. So, so half measures availed us nothing. I really got to be putting in full effort. I got to be doing it the best I can. And if I, you know, if I'm slacking or if I'm trying to say, oh, yeah, I am doing it the best I can, but I'm really not, then once again, I'm not being honest.
Yeah.
I'm not following directions.
You're going to know. You're going to know. Mm-hmm. Because we all know what's going to happen. You know what I'm going to say at this point. You've been listening to me too long.
The dude in the nude is going to see you.
It's the belly is going to tell you. It's going to be like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't, you lazy fuck. My brain tells you. It's like, no, you didn't, you liar. You're lying, DR. Right? The thing is, I love this line and I like the way that we put it. Because sometimes the best of my ability isn't much.
Yep.
Sometimes the best of my abilities only steps 1, 2, and 3. Sometimes I have to go back to basics. Some days I'm on fire and I get a lot done, but it's not like that every day, but it balances out, right?
Yeah.
So if I can honestly go to bed at night and say, did I do the best that I could with what I had today? And I can usually say, yes, it isn't always yes. It isn't always, but then I'll recognize those things so I can work on them. I don't beat myself up about it. What I say is, oh, Dion, we can't let things fall through the cracks here. We got to follow these directions and be a little more honest. You know, it all comes back to this. So
exactly. And you said you explained it really well, and my sponsor, he explained it to me pretty well too. You know, he said, I was super excited, and I'm talking as though I'm him right now, right? He said, I'm super excited, and he's talking to his sponsor, my grand sponsor, and he's telling him, you know, I planned an hour a day to do step work. And my grand sponsor just was like, in a very like non-proud way, just very flat with him. Like, well, is that to the best of your ability?
Yeah.
You know, and it's so true. It's like, well, some days I might have an hour and some days I might have 4 hours and some days I might have 5 minutes. But is that truly to the best of my ability?
Exactly.
Am I setting a goal that's, you know, out of reach or not obtainable every day? Or am I setting a goal that's, you know, too low of a goal too?
Yeah.
And really, it's
when we feel satisfied, and that's kind of a dangerous area, but there again, it's a balance. There's sometimes, you know, I'll go live 3-4 times a day because I'm trying to do something to the best of my ability. Right?
Hey, Gary.
Good to see you, brother. So I'm trying to do what I can to the best of my ability to feel. I have to feel like I got it done. If I can honestly say, Dion, did you do everything you could? Yes. Then I'm okay. I can move on.
Exactly. And, you know, and then for me, that comes out in my 11th step journal each night too. I get to like look back at the day and see if I truly did do it to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did, then, you know, like what you always say, all I get to do is give myself a pat on the back and move to the next day and try it again to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I won the war. There's no, I'm not fighting the war anymore. I'm not fighting. I'm literally just living. I am chilling these days. So
yeah, exactly.
It's really nice.
It brings me that serenity. And when I do that, what happens is it opens that door to God more. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah. No, 100%. When, like you said, when you open yourself up, the big book says what we were doing by drinking and being in our misery and our irritable, restless discontent, we were blocking ourselves off from the spirit of the sunlight.
That's right.
And so by being open-minded and doing it the best we can, we're really, truly opening ourselves up for something different.
That's
and
what
new.
All of this is getting closer to God.
Yeah, exactly. And so then now we get to flip to page 85, and there we go. Okay. So this is right in the middle of the page. He had me highlight what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And on the right hand column, he had me write number 5, do this every day. Yeah. So, you know, what I really have is, you know, I love the way you say it. I can't stay sober on yesterday's recovery.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stay accomplished on yesterday's accomplishments. Like, I have to continue. The way I describe it to my sponsees is I continuously have to be growing and moving forward and not necessarily like searching for the best all the time, but just like moving forward, you know. But I describe it as though like I can't stay stagnant. That being stagnant is putrid water. And the moment you say putrid water to somebody, especially, you know, maybe an alcoholic in detox, they're like, oh yeah, no, I don't want to be that stuff, and kind of kicks them back in the gear, you know. And I think I heard that in a meeting. I don't think I heard that from my sponsor. Maybe it was, but I mean, you know, my sponsor really didn't have to get on me too much about doing my step work.
Yeah.
I think there was one time when I did, you know, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I got busy yesterday and I might be able to work on it today. And versus him being like, you need to, or you're failing or anything like that. All he was like was, well, yeah, you know, you're doing really good. You don't want to lose that momentum. And, you know, he just like was encouraging.
Yeah.
So I've also been trying to take it on that note too, and being open-minded. And when you're a hiring manager and a sponsor, it's kind of hard, but you know, you learn a lot. You learn to, I mean, I didn't ever pray for patients, but I'm surely getting them, right?
Yeah. Well, you didn't pray to become a leader either, but you are.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And that's kind of something that's always just been there for the most part.
Yeah, it's one of,
And I've
Virgos are we're natural born leaders. We're people purple. We're purple people eaters. But my dyslexia coming in. Doing this every day. I want to talk about the importance of this. Number one, I drank every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I tell you now, it was for more than an hour.
Yes. Yeah.
So when we say, oh, I put an hour in today, right? Good job. That's like being thanked for doing the dishes. It doesn't happen. It's an inside job. It's an inside job. I have to answer these questions, right? But the reason that it is important to do these things every day is because one day will come along and your brain will think, I don't need a meeting today. And you will be wrong. You'll be wrong. You'll probably be the most spiritually fit person you possibly could be. Okay. But I'm going to tell you something from experience. It is easier to skip the second meeting. It's always easier. And then I'm in danger. That is a path I cannot go down. All right. But don't feel overwhelmed that you have to do this every day because it's a daily reprieve. Right. So do this every day also reminds us to stay in that day. Right.
Exactly. Yeah,
Good
a lot
stuff.
of people like that saying, one day at a time. And
Yeah.
so that's exactly what it is. And for me, I like all I have is today. And that's just because I like them more brutal, right? Like, all I got
Yeah.
is today. All right,
Yeah.
cool.
I hear you. I'm a little bit more, yeah, like KISS, it's keep it simple, stupid. Because I'm being stupid. So at
Yep.
the same time, I don't want to call myself stupid, but yeah.
Exactly.
I'm a little bit harder. I'm my own worst critic, that's for sure.
Yeah. So
No.
after he had me highlight these things and write those five things, he went back through it and was like, all right, so the five suggestions, the thirdly, follow the path, follow directions, be honest, be open-minded, do the best I can, and do it every day. And it almost got to a point where I said those things in my head some days versus saying like the Serenity Prayer, which isn't in the big book, And not that the Serenity Prayer isn't gold to me, because I also chanted the shit out of that in the beginning too, but I needed something else to chant in my head some days. And something that was just the Serenity Prayer brings me serenity. This brings me hope that it's not that complicated. It brings me motivation that it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody looks alcoholic or non-alcoholic, we look at a big job that needs to be done
Yeah.
and we're like, oh, how am I gonna do this?
It's
But then when
overwhelming.
Once we come up with a simple plan and start getting into it and you get a rhythm, then it's done before you even know it,
Yeah.
and that's kind of how I felt with this one.
I'm going to throw in just at the end of here. It's not necessarily even a six, but what I'm going to do is just tell everybody what happens when you do this. I'll tell you, progress happens. Progress. And that progress will add up day after day. In the beginning, everything I did was so small, it was minuscule. And I kept it that way because I was used to making my problems bigger than they had to be. So that keep it simple, and that's why we need to follow directions so that my mind isn't going somewhere else. But when we add all of these things together, what you get is progress. You will be a different person. The ninth step promises will happen. You have your book in front of you. You're getting ready to read something. While you read that, we'll do a little closure and we'll call it a podcast.
All right. The ninth step promises.
Well, I thought you were getting ready to read something, so.
No,
Okay.
I have the book out because that's where my five suggestions are.
Oh,
Then I've had the book the whole time. My cat was
crazy
making a weird noise. That's why I
that
stood up. I'm like, do you want me to
was.
read the ninth step promises? I will.
I'm gonna read something else real quick. I'll
Cool.
read us out. And thank you.
And since I'm on video too, I kind of, the manual to the big book, it's nothing big either. It's literally like, I don't know, 15 pages, you know?
Exactly.
Half pages, so full pages, it's 7.
All right. So I'm going to read out page 275. This is Dion's favorite part of the big book in the stories. And it's called The Keys to the Kingdom. And when we do follow directions, when we are honest and open-minded and we do the best that we can every single day, this is the stuff that happens. AA is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. It is a way of life, and the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving for as long as he lives. We do not, cannot outgrow this plan. As arrested alcoholics, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. Keeping one foot in front of the other is essential for maintaining our arrestment. Others may idle in a retrogressive groove without too much danger, but retrogression can spell death for us. However, this isn't as rough as it sounds, as we do become grateful for the necessity that makes us toe the line, and we find that we are compensated for the consistent effort by the countless dividends we receive. A complete change takes place in our approach to life. Where we used to run from responsibility, we find ourselves accepting it with gratitude that we can successfully shoulder it. Instead of wanting to escape some perplexing problem, we experience the thrill of challenge and the opportunity it affords for another application of AA techniques, and we find ourselves tackling it with surprising vigor. The last 15 years of my life have been rich and meaningful. I've had my share of problems, heartaches, and disappointments, because that is life. But I've also known a great deal of joy and a peace that is a handmaiden of an inner freedom. I have a wealth of friends, and with my AA friends, an unusual quality of fellowship, for to these people, I am truly related. First, through mutual pain and despair, and later, through mutual objectives and newfound faith and hope. And as the years go by, working together, sharing our experiences with one another, and also sharing a mutual trust, understanding, and love, without strings, without obligations, we acquire relationships that are unique and priceless. There is no more aloneness with that awful ache so deep in the heart of every alcoholic that nothing before could ever reach it. That ache is gone and never need return again. Now there is a sense of belonging, of being wanted and needed and loved. In return for a bottle and a hangover, we have been given the keys to the kingdom. And I truly, truly believe that. When I talk about that we are chosen, when I say that we have a job to do, that's what I'm talking about. Amber, I know you weren't feeling well. Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
And yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know this about me. I do not care for the stories in the back of the book. I am the first 164 pages number, right? But what you just read is, of course, marked in my freaking book. I have that whole part marked. Yeah. Well, not from him. Who knows where I marked it from? Normally, I'm actually really good about
it. I read it a lot, and I've read it on my lives quite often, so.
Normally, I mark who reads it and when they read it, and there's no markings, but it's marked.
And what were you doing? You were being open-minded.
Exactly.
That's the best part now, is that I get to now be a leader and show other people how I do it through my actions.
Yeah. I was just talking to my son the other day, though, too. You know, when you don't want to do something, it's kind of like where the big book talks about, you know, going places and doing things, so long as you have a legitimate reason for being there, you know, going and doing the thing that you don't want to do, if it's for a good reason, then, you know, after you go and do it, you're going to feel good no matter what it is. Or if it's productive, you know, it doesn't have to be good. But
it happens for me too. Yeah.
even though it's been a rough week, you know, it's been a good week because I used all the tools that I had between the 12 steps and therapy and got through my week and was able to do the podcast, and now I feel good. So
yeah.
Yay. I suggest doing those things you don't want to do. And I heard someone say in a meeting the other day, you know, do the things that you're fearful of, do them with fear and just do them, you know? Well, and I love that. I was like, fuck the fear, just do it.
Well, what were we just talking about? Right before we came on, I was telling Amber, I get nervous. I still get nervous doing these things. She's like, I'm not nervous at all. But, you know, and it's different for people. I still get nervous and it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fear. The cool thing is I can walk through my fear because I got God. I've got roomfuls of courage that I can bring with me too. So I don't mind if the fear is there. It's just another feeling.
And it's temporary.
And temporary. This too shall pass. Exactly. Thank you to all of our listeners. We appreciate you. Amber, thanks for everything. This turned out great. I hope everybody has a fantastic Friday night.
Yeah.
I love you. I love you. You want to say your byes real quick?
Bye.
I love you. Peace out and have a day.